Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
How we doing? Happy Wednesday.
Is it?
A little hump day.
Eh.
It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
You know what? I think
it's not the worst in the world.
I think this is a perfect little thing. I'm glad you brought up Hump Day. Maybe I should just play the Humpty Dance.
The Humpty Dance?
Knowing that two people sitting around us right now don't know what that song is. Do you know what the Humpty Dance is?
I have a vague idea of the Humpty Dance. There we go. Okay, I did know what it was. There we go. So yeah, happy Wednesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, it is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills do not do anything at the trade deadline. They did not make it a boring day. We'll get to that as the morning rolls along. And the Sabres lose again in overtime. They keep picking up points, but when they play 3-on-3, it's not a great watch.
I have mixed reactions about that so bad.
We'll get to that as we roll along here. Sal Capaccio is going to jump on at 10:30. We'll have him for 10:30 to 11 as well, so we'll get all of the nitty-gritty on what's to come for the injury report and everything for the Bills, and then also what we saw yesterday, which was the Bills really didn't do anything. They do move the Taron Johnson money to next year. They open up some cap space. And then there really, I would say, weren't really many rumblings. There was a little bit there with Curtis Samuel and Von Miller for Washington. They might go do that. Mm-hmm. That was like the last hour of the deadline.
Right.
I know afterwards was a little bit of Calvin Ridley stuff. But ultimately, they stand pat, which, to be perfectly honest, I'm not furious. I'm not ready to, you know, throw everything out a window. I am a little surprised with just all the injuries on defense. Wide receiver was the desire and the dream. Defense made a lot of sense just due to personnel and guys that have picked up injuries. I am a little surprised they didn't do anything.
I thought yesterday my dream target was more or less Calais Campbell,
mm-hmm.
and I was curious to see what would happen about that because he is that type of player. He plays D-tackle. He can play D-end. You know, he gives you a little bit of that versatility that Hoyt had for you before his injury. But like you, I'm surprised there is nothing. Wasn't surprised about receiver at all. I was ready for that dream to be dead while we were talking about this yesterday. And then they send out the Everybody Eats tweet.
Yeah, Manja Manja tweet, yeah.
Which we didn't see near the end of our show. And it made so much sense. But at the same time, yeah, that would have just further solidified my stance on, no, they're not trading for a wide receiver. They were never trading for a wide receiver. You will get Gabe Davis and you will like it.
It looks to be the way they're going.
But it was defensive line that I was surprised nothing did happen. And you know what would have been cool? If the Jets weren't in our division.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just was having so many emotions about the Jets.
My God.
As somebody that is a draft junkie, love what the Jets did yesterday. I know the joke will be the last time they had all of these picks, they got guys like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams in the draft. I know. But they botched the quarterback. They botched the head coach. You've got to start over. But they've got three firsts in 27, and they've got two firsts and 2 seconds in 26. Like, that's just cool if you're a Jets fan in a bad season, in just a disaster wasteland. That's cool. But as I'm watching Sauce Gardner go for two firsts to Indy, and then Quinnen Williams leaves for a first and a second to Dallas, I'm like, Garrett Wilson, let's get after it. Let's go. And it's just, you have to have the reminder of what they're asking for is probably a first and more. And then you add in the fact that you're in the division. They're going to probably hope this is a quick turnaround with all of that high-end draft capital they're going to get. They're not looking at you as, whatever, by the time we get good, Allen's retired. No, they're probably looking at you as, we'll be good in 2 years to get them. Why would we give them a 25-year-old receiver that we do like?
And that's the shame in it. Why couldn't it have been another team imploding that wasn't in the Bills division? Because we saw, like, a lot of us saw the report yesterday about how, yeah, the Jets were not entertaining any calls from division rivals. So that would mean that the Bills and Patriots probably were thinking about acquiring, and then the Jets said, no. Why are we helping you?
Get away. Block
Step
this
off.
Lose this number.
Lose this number. Step off. Impolitely.
with like levels of disrespect meant. Yeah.
Yes. So that's the real shame in all of it is, man, I wish it was just a team that wasn't in the division that was imploding on itself and having a fire sale. Because, yeah, no, like nothing would have told me. I even said it yesterday because Jalen Waddle was brought up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
But that was the exact conversation, was Miami going to do that? No.
No. Miami's not going to look at the team that's been punching them in the face for 6 years and go, okay, you could have them.
And then we'll play each other on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's where the only like cool thought for me was, could you, like, you just would stay in Miami. But no, they don't do anything.
Not a singular chance in hell.
Yeah.
The Jets are going to do the same thing. No, you've been lording over us for the last 6 years. Step off. Get out.
I just wish they could have made any deal with New Orleans, I think, especially. New Orleans, I went into yesterday thinking they need to kind of do, not to the extent that the Jets did, where they just all of the picks. I mean, they had the higher-end talent, let's be honest here. But I thought New Orleans would really go into it and just try to get as much talent as they could. They are not a well-built roster at the moment. And so just try to get as much draft pick, as much draft capital as they could. It's Shaheed and Trevor Penning. That's who they move off
and
of.
And Penning, I was a little surprised he even got traded in the first place. Well, mostly because I don't
Chargers,
think he's
Yeah, it's Chargers' good. Desperation of Alt and Slater are out for the rest of the year. So it's like, we need somebody.
Mostly
because
I think that guy's bad.
Yeah, well, he's not good. But and, so they do that, but Olave stays. Carl Granderson, who I was kind of starting to look at yesterday just because 28.
Right.
You know, he's very good in the beginning of the year. Maybe there's something there. I know Von Miller was kind of the same thing for Washington, having 4 sacks in 6 games. Maybe there's something there.
I got a little bit nervous about Washington yesterday.
The Deebo Samuel stuff, too?
The Deebo Samuel stuff, but also Von Miller, because, again, it turns into the joke of the year, reloading itself. If you're in Brandon Bean's contact list, you're never leaving.
Yeah.
Like, that joke would have been reloaded for everybody. And even now, a lesser extent, who are the players that they're working out? Kingsley Jonathan, Casey Tuhill. Okay.
And yeah.
I do think it is different for practice squad players versus, you know, reacquiring Von Miller in a trade. I think there's a different level of potential outrage on that sort of thing.
So following the Bills not doing anything at the trade deadline, and I mentioned yesterday, and I do still stand with this, you add in yesterday not doing anything, you add in the Michael Hoyt injury. This is where I said it took pretty much all the wind out of my sails from the Kansas City win. And I'm not saying they're a bad team, But all of the, all right, that's your best game. Like, let's go. I don't even finish the game in the super happiest mood because Hoyt goes down. And then you add in, they don't do anything at the trade deadline. I will tell you, going into this weekend where they probably should beat up Miami, it probably should be a win. They go to 7-2. It's not that I think they're not a Super Bowl caliber team. Vegas would tell you they still are. I'm still waiting to see an elite team in the AFC really establish itself because, look, I know Indy did what they did. They also got bullied by Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh proved you get out on the, you get a jump on them early. They
don't respond well.
They cannot win outside of the script that they set up, which is we're going to run the ball on you, and Daniel Jones will make timely plays, and we're going to let our defense suffocate the rest of the way.
And so I'm still waiting for that elite team to arrive. I think they match up beautifully against Kansas City. You see that time and time again in the regular season. It doesn't hit in the postseason, I know, but there's a reason why they keep beating them in the regular season. They do match up well with them.
It is the one team that consistently beats Kansas City in some sort of capacity every year.
But, man, it's just it you can pound the Hoyt injury with not doing anything yesterday. I am just kind of sitting here going, like, it just, like, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And again, it didn't need to be a major move. I don't think Carl Granderson's going to all of a sudden have a bunch of people going, well, now they're winning the Super Bowl. But it was just, okay, you picked him an injury. You pivoted. You know, now, all right, we've got to go here. Now I'm starting to look like, okay, is Solomon going to take up a much bigger role with Hoyt down? I know he played quite a bit towards the end of the Kansas City game. Are we going to get anything from Landon Jackson? Or is that redshirt year going to continue?
Quite frankly, it is going to look like one of the most infuriating picks that they've had in a while if Landon Jackson doesn't see the field after this. That's the thing. Like, if he doesn't do much when he's on the field, it's one thing, I guess. It's still probably just as infuriating now that I think about it. But if he's still a game day inactive with all the injuries that have happened on the defensive line, that's a bad use of a pick. Not necessarily on the player, on the GM thinking that, oh, you have a chance to do an investment pick in the third round of a stacked defensive draft class. So it's either you misdiagnosed the caliber of player that Landon Jackson is, or you invested a pick to have a redshirt year in the third round.
And the Bills have done this before. Epinesa kind of is like both famous and infamously a redshirt year, his rookie year. He's kind of developed into a pretty darn good player. He's up there with the pressure rates this year. The edge rushers for the Bills have been really good, most stats-wise would tell you, all year. Terrell Bernard also was this as well. So it has worked for them. But in the window they're in, it is also incredibly infuriating that one of their top three players – you kind of just know he's not going to be on the field. Or at least the Bills seem to have an understanding. He just won't be on the field.
And that just seems like a weird... It just seems weird. That's all. At this point for me, like, you need to see him on the field because he needs to get some kind of reps under him if he's going to be able to develop, right? That's probably what I would be thinking on this sort of thing. I don't know. It's a little baffling to me. But when it comes to what you said about taking the wind out of your sails, I don't know if that's the same thing happening for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as aggravated about the lack of a trade deadline acquisition. I'm still a little surprised there was no defensive addition. I also gave up on it when I learned of what little cap space the Bills had initially before a couple days ago. And while most of your contracts are paid out or they're already halfway paid through, prorated, so you could make trades and acquire players, I still looked at it as there's still not a great opportunity there. Then they move some cap around. I'm like, okay. So they clearly are showing they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. And then they didn't. So it was more or less, I guess it was a failure. It was not an unwillingness to do it. It was just the execution wasn't there. Or the price was something that they ultimately were not willing to pay. And that's how it ends. But you don't move that money around just to sit on your hands. That's just not true. So that's the one part we can absolutely check off is Brandon Bean did not say that he was completely satisfied with the roster in its entirety. You don't move that money around without thinking of adding somebody. So it is not out of a lack of trying. And that much I will commend. But I'm also not all that peeved about it either. Again, because I resigned myself to this. Because it was going to be tough with the cap gymnastics that they already had to do. This team also, their biggest problem, other than the fact that they keep adding injuries to a defense that has not deserved it at all, is it's those guys on the defensive side of the ball that got extensions need to be better. Rousseau has been kind of getting back to it.
It seems like he's coming along.
He has smoothed out the edge presence
as a whole, yeah.
He has smoothed out the start of his season where he was almost on a milk carton. Benford has not been the same player as pre-extension. Terrell Bernard looks lost out there. I don't know what you're doing with that all of a sudden. He looks lost in pass coverage, which is usually his biggest benefit for you. He's part of the missed tackle issues. As a matter of fact, what was it, last week we're hearing rumblings about maybe he's getting benched after an extension? That would seem deadly for a defense with championship aspirations, right? It has to do with the fact that, as of right now, the extensions that you handed out that weren't James Cook, they've all kind of had some disappointing returns on a varying degree. Khalil Shakir, Jeremy pointed it out. He has, what, 45 air yards on his 38 catches or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, how did Jeremy describe him? He's a running back.
It's like, and that one's not anything that he can necessarily do to fix it. That's play calling. It's play calling and it's, you know, what routes are you being told to run? Okay. I can't really do much there. Cook obviously has been the slam dunk of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? I've got Benford not playing up to his usual standard. I've got Rousseau kind of fixing it right now. I'm kind of getting a little bit more of the positive results from Gregory Rousseau. Good. Because at the start of the year, he was probably the biggest disappointment. And again, Terrell Bernard. That extension is currently, the way he's been playing this year, that's ghastly. It's almost a horrifying extension at this point that if he keeps playing like this, people are going to be looking for, okay, where's the first out on the contract?
Yeah, you're going to get the uncomfortable conversation of, all right, when can we get out? When can we get out of this?
So he has to play better, a lot better, and I'm pretty sure he knows it.
We will see. They are into the second half of the year. To be fair on the defense, they've had maybe their two best performances in back-to-back weeks off the bye. Maybe that's McDermott playing, calling plays. Maybe it's just better players are available now. The athletes are there. I mean, they've kind of changed up the safety room with Poyer and Hancock kind of balancing that act. Max Harrison being in. So we'll see. I mean, also along with that, you know, we mentioned Landon Jackson, but TJ Sanders. Hopefully he comes back healthy. And if he does and they start to see real returns for a second round pick that they traded up for,
that will help.
That will help, yeah.
It might just have to do with you do believe that there is more meat on the bone with the roster that you have, and they're not playing up to the potential that they should.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you didn't overpay for an acquisition. There's a difference between sitting on your hands and not wanting to overpay, and I think that's what the Bills did here. You moved the cap around to prepare yourself for an addition. Remember the joke that we said yesterday about the Jacoby Myers one? Ring, 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 ring. Hi, this is Raiders.
Right.
What's the price for Jacoby Myers? I want a third. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Like, we're done.
That could be what the conversation was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up in just over 10 minutes. We'll have him for about a half hour today as Bills get back to work. And also we kind of break down the trade deadline that was. Bills don't do anything. Jets do a ton, moving out a lot of their, you know, kind of star players in Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. They do keep Garrett Wilson, though, and Breece Hall. So it's not a full teardown for them, but they get a lot of draft capital over the next 2 years. Let's go to the phones, though, and we'll start off today with Ray on the lane. Ray, how are we doing today, man?
Hi, guys. Good. You know, I didn't expect the Bills to do anything, and if they did, how impactful could it be? They didn't have the room. So
right.
In my mind, I'm playing Jedi mind tricks with myself, saying, you know what? Oliver has been gone most of the season. Palmer's been gone a little less than half. You know, if we would have got wide receivers, you know, what would have been their level? Somebody like a Jordan Palmer level or a Gabe Davis? Well, we have those guys. So if Palmer can even live up to what he was supposed to, you know, Oliver and Daquan Jones and Sanders, you know, those are our acquisitions. The hope is that they just, you know, fill in. So to me, we have what we wanted. They just, you know, and I'll be honest, I'm expecting a Joey Bosa injury from the pattern of it.
It's the one everyone expected. It somehow hasn't shown up.
So going back to the beginning of the year, if we would have said we were 6-2 and two of those wins were against Baltimore and Kansas City, I'll take it. So what's the cost of all this? What, a loss against Atlanta that's disappointing? Yes. But you know what? We got the conference wins. We put a nail in the almost another nail in the coffin of Kansas City, because I'm still a proud Buffalo 1990s guy. I don't want them to even come close to, tying the four Super Bowls in a row. I love that if it comes down to a tiebreaker, we're the ones that put an end to it, the ones that hold that streak. But I think we have the guys on a roster. What else can we do? You know, but here's the big thing. If Bean does not address wide receiver next year, that's the real. He should have done it this year, but after going through this year, if he doesn't address it, that's the crime right there, somehow, some way.
Ray, thanks for the call.
Ray, we're going to find out together.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, but also going into next year, I mean, they've got two of their starting offensive linemen in contract years with McGovern and Edwards. Linebacker absolutely is going to be a need. You already mentioned Bernard, but Milano, probably done. Dorian Williams hasn't ascended to just flat out overtaking Milano. So linebacker will probably be up there. And yeah, I agree wide receiver, because I think you're not getting anything out of Keon Coleman outside of really good blocking, which is absolutely a good thing. I'm not saying it's not. That's kind of all you're getting. We'll see if maybe in the second half of the year Palmer starts to ascend. There was a little bit of that in the Atlanta game before he gets hurt. Maybe they start using Dalton Kincaid more. He is, I think, their best receiving weapon. I'd like to see him use more, but also, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If they get that running game going and the play action gets going, very, very few teams can stop them.
It becomes deadly at a point, and that's where it can get fun. And something that Ray said, though, also about, like, you're 6-2, you beat Kansas City, Baltimore, and at the start of the year, we probably all hammer that deal.
Don't even tell me anything else. Just say you're 6-2 and you beat Baltimore and Kansas City. Great, fantastic.
They're like, okay, there's a couple games that we drop in there, but who cares? And ready? The first guess is probably Atlanta.
Actually, yeah, because it has somewhat become a yearly thing where they will drop that ridiculous game. You hope it winds up in the NFC. It does. The problem is, though, which is the loss every year becomes more and more baffling when they lose that one game. The Urban Meyer Jacksonville game kind of being the pinnacle of it.
Yes, but again, to Ray's point on that, that is something that is still good. And I do like a lot of the points that he made here. Also, the one of, what's it really going to be worth at this point when it comes to acquiring players that might be just guys? Mm-hmm. That's why wide receiver was, outside of Olave and New Orleans, clearly looked like they didn't have any intention of that, because you heard nothing about him.
No, if anything, they really tried to squash it multiple times. I said Shaheed just because I think he could open up the offense more.
Shaheed,
he may not do much statistically, but he could
Shaheed
open it up.
He does a lot of what the rest of these guys can do anyway, and that's more of the same. Jacoby Myers, I'm not impressed with him as an acquisition for the Bills. They have a lot of guys that can do what he does. Wow, I can speak English.
I do what he do. That's fine.
And that's really where I'm at, is again, they set themselves up to prepare for an acquisition, but then they decided we're not going to overpay for one. And
a lot of deals yesterday were multiple picks.
And I think that is
a hard sell for a team that is going to maybe have to do a little bit of roster turnover. especially with guys, especially on the offensive line.
And especially with youth, mm-hmm. you need to make sure that you have that. Like you said multiple times now, like it sounds terrible to say it like this, but yeah, you want the cheaper labor infused into a lineup. That's where it's going to be valuable for them. Mm-hmm. So again, Ray, you hit on a lot of good points there, and I appreciate the call.
One more call before we hit our next timeout. Bruce is with us. Bruce, how are we doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
In regards to the trade acquisitions, I just have, you know, one small thing. And before I do that, I'll cite Paul Hamilton. He says, when do you pick up guys? You pick up guys in the offseason. Mm-hmm. What did Bean do? He got Ogunjobi. He got Hoyt. You know, and Hoyt is a difference maker. And there's not another guy like him that you're going to get at a trade acquisition. And if you do, you're going to pay out the nose for it. So, you know, I fall on this. I say to myself, in the history of the NFL, name me one individual that was acquired at the trade deadline that made such a difference they won a Super Bowl. And I'll wait for an answer because there isn't one.
It's Von. It's Von Miller with the Rams. Is kind of the one I can go to.
Yes.
But Bruce, I think your point though is fairly correct in the sense of, yeah, you build through the offseason. That's where the better
really
guys are available.
Build through the
I'm a big draft junkie with the first, second mm-hmm. round talent. You want them to be those guys. But I think Bruce's point is right. Von's the one I can think of, but that also was the Rams. We're good. We're pushing all of our chips in now, and we have the cap space to bring in that caliber of player.
There's also circumstance to this. Ready? What did I say to start the show? I lament that the Jets were the team that was selling off pieces.
Yeah.
If there's a team having a fire sale that's not within the AFC East, tell me the Bills aren't in on something.
May not get done, but yeah.
They may not get done, but they're probably in on something. Because the teams that they trade with are Indianapolis, the one AFC contender that really buys.
And that is a good point. I know Jeremy brought it up too. We got to hit a break here, but that is also a good thing to bring up is that Denver didn't really do anything. Kansas City didn't really do anything. Baltimore added whatever pass rusher, I think, for like a seventh round pick.
Denver probably
no one
would have
really
loved to get
did
Myers.
Anything.
Yeah. Denver would have loved probably adding a wide receiver like Myers on the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
Only two receivers even get dealt. The market was weird. And if the Jets were not in the AFC East, tell me that Quinn and Williams don't look so tantalizing on that kind of idea.
803-0550, the number two call. Sal Capaccio up next when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number one continues to roll along here on a Wednesday. And that music, you know what that means. Swan the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio does join the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good, good. So the trade deadline, were you kind of waiting with bated breath in that last hour, seeing if anything came in, or did you get maybe a sense?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house.
Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is just more of a personal question. Did you get a sense, all right, they're not going to do anything?
No, I mean, you never know, right? Mm-hmm. I guess as the day went on, I just kept feeling like, okay, something will happen here, but You never know with these things, right? They pop up at the very last minute. You know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So I don't know if I ever really got a sense either way. It was just more of kind of waiting to see. I did expect trades. I did. You know, Matt Bovey and I did It's Always Game Day in Buffalo a couple of days before the trade deadline, and I set the over-under at 1.5. And so it was obviously it was zero. But Matt, I think if I remember right, Matt went over and he said he expected 2 deals. And, you know, to me, one was always probably going to happen. Like, I felt that way. To get to 2 would have taken more, like, okay, well, what assets are you talking about? Now you're actually trading away more draft picks. How much cap space do you have? There was always barriers towards all this. We know that. But yeah, I thought a deal would be done. As the day went on, you just never know what you're going to get. And, you know, I guess the deadline, as Andrew Brandt always says, deadline spurs action. So when it got towards the deadline, I felt maybe something would happen, then it never did.
And Sal, for me, like I you know, talking about as the day was kind of transpiring, I wonder too how much appetite the Bills would have had to trade away 2 draft picks to go get maybe a rental player when they do have some guys on expiring contracts. You know, they do value the draft. I am a draft junkie. I value the draft as well. I'm really not all about trading a bunch of firsts to go get a player. But I wonder if maybe that really put a kibosh. There was not, you know, yesterday at least, a bunch of guys going for a single fifth. It was, you know, you're going to have a fourth and a fifth or a fourth and a sixth. And I wonder how much appetite the Bills had for that.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I mean, I totally understand, and I'm not even – would never go against it. I agree with the, okay, this is the time to win, right? Like window now and Josh Allen, and totally get that. You know, but I think, you know, we have to understand from Brandon Bean's perspective too of what he always says, which is his job as a GM is to have that eye, but also an eye for the future and not to just, you know, mortgage away everything. I know for fans it's easy to say. I get it, right? We all want a Super Bowl here, and I know they do. But that once you start talking about those prices and giving away all those assets, then I think it becomes tougher for a general manager to part with that and to think about what the roster looks like, you know, next year, a year from now. And the fact that you have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl now, what are the returns you're going to get? Like the last 2 years now, I think Rasul Douglas was a very, very nice trade for them a couple years ago. Amari Cooper never really helped them last year, right? He came in, and I think you have to weigh that. Like, how much are you really helping your team or benefiting your team? Is it really something that's going to be worth giving up that asset or those assets down the road? I just think those things are really have to think about. And as fans, as media, it's easy for us to say, just F the picks. I get it. And yeah, I mean, I was at the same mold and the same mindset. But I think it's important to understand, like, how Brandon Bean views his job and what he believes his mission is for the Buffalo Bills, you know, while they do have Josh Allen now and over the next several years.
Yeah, Sal, I mean, you bring that up too. And so Ross Tucker yesterday on Shulton Bulldog made this point. We just took a caller that kind of made this point too. Like, how valuable really are these midseason acquisitions? The one guy I can always point to that was a hit that did help this team win a Super Bowl is Von Miller with the Rams.
Yep.
There might be another example that I'm not thinking of that's clear in the face, but that's the one I go to. But it's kind of also the only one I can think of. And I think it is maybe right to point out that the Rams – yeah, they did the strategy. Yeah, they're the one everyone quotes. They're kind of also like maybe the only team in NFL history to be able to do that, pull it off, and have it work.
No, I agree with you. I mean, you could definitely, you know, point to them as an example. And they've been competitive ever since, too, right? I mean, you know, they haven't won a Super Bowl since then, but they've been very competitive, and they've been able to do that. You know, it's funny, you think about this. So I was listening to some of the Jets fan and media reaction, right, to yesterday. And what's interesting is, look what the Colts did. And the Colts are getting a lot of credit, rightfully so. They went out and they took a swing. And I think it's great, you know, for them that they did that. And it's cool and it's exciting and it's sexy. And they went out and they really, you know, they brought in Sauce Gardner and they gave up a pretty hefty price, two number ones. And I'm listening this morning to WFAN, our sister station in New York, Joe Bonino. And Joe, who's been covering them for a long time, it's really interesting. If you listen to him, I don't remember who he's with. I think Tiki Barber was one of them. But he was basically like, and we're not as close to the Jets situation here, but he's like, look, like Sauce Gardner's a really good player. He's not great. He's not worth two first-round picks. Right? And this is a Jets, like a guy that hammers the Jets a lot, to be quite honest with you, right? And I thought about that for a minute. I'm like, boy, like, so now we're going to say, like, the Colts overpaid. Now, they got a really good player. But, like, you listen to him, and he's like, he's really good, but he's nothing special. He doesn't make game-changing or critical plays at times you need it. And I just thought that was interesting, and I'm not here to tell you he's wrong or he's right. I just think that the perception and the way you look at it really is in the eye of the beholder here of, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you're a fan, you're probably really excited you got Sauce Gardner. You also don't have two first-round picks the next 2 years. And if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, right? Like, that's a pretty big deal that you don't have those. And I think those are the things that GMs are always managing.
Sal, you mentioned the Sauce Gardner trade, and I had said something in the last segment more akin to, it is a shame that it's the Jets being in the Bills division that is the one that's having the fire sale. Do you think that they would have still been willing to be aggressive if there was opportunity there for that sort of thing? Say that they are a team like Indianapolis that's not dealing with being a division rival, or the Cowboys, for example, getting Quinnen Williams from the Jets. That is probably where I think there could be more hype and hysteria, because you can easily dismiss it, Sal, that division rivals, they're not going to mess with their division foes when it comes to a trade.
Right. So are you asking me basically if the Jets weren't in the Bills division, if they would have been like, if those things
could
were
they
more
be
possible
a little bit
them?
More aggressive? Yes, because they do move
but,
around.
But
the
I don't know how
space.
Aggressive they were. Or they weren't, though, Derek. That's the problem, right? Like, we don't know that. Like, the Bills, for all we know, Brandon Bean offered the Jets two first round picks for, you know, Quinnen Williams, right? We don't know that, right? I mean, I don't know how aggressive they were. I think that's what gets lost in a lot of these. You know, I go to the Sabres game last night and I get it. Like, people see me walking around. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe Brandon Bean didn't try to do this. I'm like, well, how do you know he didn't try? We don't know that. Right? We don't know what he tried or didn't try.
Yep.
To your point, though, I agree 100%, which is, it is a shame that the one team that was real big sellers is in the Bills division, because that team is not handing the Buffalo Bills a young superstar in his prime. They're just not going to do it, right? And like Garrett Wilson or Sauce Gardner. So Sauce Gardner, for example, now that the Bills don't need Sauce Gardner per se, now they have Max Harrison, and I think they're good right there. They're not going to give up that. But they're not going to trade a player like that to a team in their division that they have to play twice a year, that team could have him now for the next 5 years. That guy's under contract. Now let's go to Garrett Wilson. Same thing. And also, from a Jets perspective here, I think Garrett Wilson is the kind of guy you want on your team when you draft your next quarterback, isn't it? Right?
Like, yes.
Yeah. So I think the Jets probably felt, look, we're not going to trade Garrett Wilson because we need him here when we draft our next quarterback, because he needs a guy that, you know, immediately when you get in here, he has somebody who's established, who's really good. And I think that's a smart way to look at it. But I also understand that, you know, if you want to just go out and continue to do that, if you're the Jets, and strip it down even more, there's opportunity there. I don't know. When you say like Brandon Bee could have been more aggressive, I just don't know how aggressive he was.
I just more
like,
or less
if we wonder if we find out today that he was willing to give a sixth for Rashid Shaheed, right? That's not that aggressive to me. Mm-hmm. but if he was willing to go to where the Seahawks went, and maybe the Saints looked at the Seahawks and said, well, they'll have better picks than the Bills. Like we don't know those things.
Yeah, it's more or less the opportunities, I think, were a little limited. But I do think that the Bills were willing to make some sort of move here, Sal, because they do move around the money on Taron Johnson's contract. They do have themselves an opportunity to get things set up, but then they do look at some of the opportunities and think, I'm not overpaying for a Jacoby Myers, for example. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the market kind of ran dry from there.
So... yeah, and I know that they did restructure Taron's contract.
Yep.
And a lot of people ask me about this and say, well, that seemed like a waste. So if you're doing it, why are you doing it if you're not going to make a deal? Well, a couple of things. Number one, as I've said many times, they do need operating costs. They just lost Michael Hoyt and put him on IR. And I guess people don't realize, because I've been asked this a lot, you don't get cap relief for injured reserve in the NFL. Correct, this isn't the NHL,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Michael Hoyt, his cap, everybody who goes on injured reserve still counts in your cap the same way they would if they weren't on injured reserve. And additionally, you must count anybody you put on the team, whether that's practice squad or signings, that's got to count against your cap. So you need operating costs as the year goes on. So by restructuring Taron Johnson's contract, the first thing you do is give yourself more operating room to sign somebody or to even call people up from the practice squad as you go. The second thing you do is, yes, I would say you probably have that, okay, what if a deal comes along tomorrow? We need to strike and we got to have money ready right now, right? That's why you do that. So I'm not saying it was just for operating costs, but that's got to be a piece of what you are thinking, and you're probably doing it to open up room just in case the right deal comes along and maybe they had a deal in place. Maybe they thought they had a deal in place, all those kinds of things. I don't know if we're going to hear from Brandon Bean today, guys, or not. Typically, we do hear from him after the trade deadline when a deal is made. A deal wasn't made in this case. Mm-hmm. We will hear from Sean McDermott a little over an hour from now. And, you know, he'll give us a practice update and things like that. But we don't know if we're going to hear from Brandon Bean. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, obviously he'll hopefully give a little more clarity on that.
Yeah, it is one of those things where I looked at that and said the operating cost is a good way to look at it. But I did see the moving of Johnson's contract as we're going to see if there's something here because we want to have that money set aside in case we do have a deal that we like, but we're also not going to overpay for it. So it did seem like a little bit of that balancing act of we're going to be ready, but if it's not a cost that we like, we're not going to overpay for something.
That's probably right. That's probably exactly right. You have to be ready to make a deal if the right deal comes along. You can't just suddenly process it and do all and have the gymnastics of it. So I think that's probably right in what wound up happening. But they do need operating costs for the rest of the year. They don't have a lot of money. Now, there are guys that could have been traded that the Bills could have afforded on the cap. There's no doubt because yeah. Their salaries are minimal. And you're only counting basically half of your salary for anybody who's traded. Base salary is the only thing that you have to pay for. That could have happened. But for whatever reason, whether that's price point, whether that's somebody's salary being a little too much, whatever it is, it just didn't work out yesterday for the Buffalo Bills. And again, we don't know what they tried or what they didn't try. That's always the question when it comes down to these things.
Last thing for me, Sal, because I know we got to take a quick time out, but on the Jets, I just, for me, like as a draft junkie, I love what they did yesterday. I had so much fun watching them do that. As a football fan, I should say that because I think they, if this works, they could be a real problem in the AFC East. But to have three first-round picks in 27, to have two firsts and 2 seconds in 26, and to be perfectly honest, yeah, you keep Garrett Wilson, you keep Breece Hall, they kept Johnson as well on the defense. If they can hit that quarterback, which I think we all probably assume will be their first pick this year, man, that is going to be a wealth of draft assets, high-end draft assets, that they can rebuild that team very, very quickly.
Well, I'll just reiterate what Sam Monson tweeted yesterday, and I loved it, which is, he wrote, the last time the Jets had this kind of draft capital, they drafted all the guys they're now trading away.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you're like, oh my God, look at these draft picks. You might also go, again?
right?
I mean, like,
right,
they've done this. I mean, this is what they've done. It's the same thing I say about the Sabres when people tell me, mm-hmm. oh, my God, look how young they are and all the talent they might have. It, you know, whether they do or they don't, every year, and I go, again? Like, I've been down this road before. And what has it gotten them? The one thing the Jets haven't done is gotten the quarterback right now. They might have gotten it right with Sam Darnold, but they didn't handle it right.
Yeah.
Right? So there are, maybe they got it right with Aaron Rodgers because they brought him in and they were ready to go and then he got hurt. But that's the one thing. And yeah, you look at the Jets and their draft capital over the next few years. Great. But how long is it going to take to get that quarterback to develop him? Are they going to draft him next year? Are they going to draft him in 2027? People are thinking, who knows? And then when he gets there, does it take a year or two? And then by then, you got to hit on these other picks. So yeah, it's nice in theory to have all these picks. I don't disagree with that. But this is what the Jets have done every year, rinse and repeat, because they have not found or developed the quarterback correctly.
Man, them and the Browns. Nobody better at acquiring a ton of picks and then absolutely wasting them. We'll take a quick timeout. Sal, you're not going anywhere. We're going to hang out for another segment. We'll get more on what's to come for the Bills when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, and still with us as well on the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio. We spent a lot of the last segment talking the trade deadline. Ultimately, the Bills don't do anything. The Jets do a ton in cleaning out some, star players to get a lot of assets back. But the Bills are not on the bye. They do have a game this weekend at Miami on Sunday, 1 p.m. And today the Bills do get back to work. A number of injuries could be something to keep an eye on, especially guys like Josh Palmer, Daquan Jones, and some others. So, Sal, what are we looking at for today?
Yeah, you're right. Sean McDermott's going to speak to the media just about an hour from now. And on Monday, when he met with the media post-game, the day after the game, he said those guys you just mentioned, Joshua Palmer, even Taron Johnson, even though he had his injury on Friday. It's a quick turnaround, right? So he's on a different timeline, I think, than these other guys when it comes to that part of it. But he did say Joshua Palmer, Taron Johnson, Shaq Thompson, Daquan Jones, all expected to practice in some capacity this week. Doesn't mean today necessarily. We'll see, though. We'll get a little feel for that. We'll hear from Sean McDermott when we're out there with him. And then, on the practice field, we'll see. The other guy there is Gabe Davis, guys. Remember, Davis had a little inflammation, as Sean said, later last week. The Bills take on the Miami Dolphins Sunday at 1 p.m. So, we'll see if what this holds here. And then with everything going out, Michael Hoyt, the Bills did put him on IR. Sean was asked about TJ Sanders. Doesn't seem like that's, anything close to happening, but it could wind up happening, as the season goes on. And then just really not encouraging news on Dorian Strong, unfortunately. McDermott confirmed that, he said that the young cornerback with the neck injury that the reports they're getting are not good right now, not going in a good direction. So that's not good to hear.
Yeah, I did want to bring that up. So thank you, Sal, because he's a player. You hear neck injury, and I think for many people, it immediately kind of you pause and go, oh. And Sal, you've talked about it a lot. Like you sort of take pause on it and you see where it goes. Maybe season ending, we'll see. The report from Monday does not sound great. The Bills are taking on the Dolphins, and they're a team that is both in free fall and sort of starting over, but may also be keeping their coach. They're in a weird spot, Sal.
They are, and I just, before I went on with you guys, watched and listened to Mike McDaniel, his press conference from 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. The ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I would encourage anybody to go watch and listen to it because it feels like you kind of don't know like where they are. They don't, maybe they don't know where they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
They're also like there's a lot of changes going on. He was even asked a question like, how do you manage? The GM gets fired, but you have this game here, and people talk about the quarterback and all this. He's like, well, that's a good question, and it's true. It's all real. Like, and you're like, okay, and but you know, to Mike McDaniel's credit, talking, he said, you know, his focus, they doesn't matter. They're getting ready to play a football game against the Buffalo Bills, and all that stuff doesn't matter until playing the Bills. But they're going to be without Jalen Phillips. He's gone now. He got traded. Yeah. He got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. I was a bit surprised they didn't make more deals, to be honest with you. I thought Bradley Chubb, you know, could be on the move. Maybe Waddle. Never really felt – people I talked to really felt it would be real tough for them to trade Jalen Waddle. It had to be a knock-their-socks-off type of offer. But, you know, they wind up keeping him. And, guys, I mean, it still is a very potent offense with Devon Achane and Jalen Waddle. And we know that. And when I talked to Sean McDermott on the Extra Point Show last week on Friday and asked about defending the Chiefs, he brought up unprompted how similar they are to the Dolphins in that regard, right? So we know the Bills have a lot of healthy respect for them, but you're right, they're in a weird spot right now. And they're still trying to win games. You know, it's not like they're tanking or anything like that. And, you know, we'll see what their response is. By the way, they've had 10 days here. The last time that they played was a Thursday night game against the Baltimore Ravens.
I am, by the way, Sal, very excited. And I'm glad you mentioned how similar the Chiefs and Dolphins can be. Watching Max Harrison against Worthy and how they were able to utilize him in that matchup, I am excited to see what he can do or what the Bills want to do with him going up against somebody like a Jalen Waddle. Through the first two games for him, I've loved how they used him, and I think he's flashed really well and kind of shown why the Bills went out and got him in the first round.
Yeah, for sure. He just really added an element to this defense that they needed. And I think there's a couple things with Max Harrison going forward here, which is, number one, when does he take more of the lion's share of snaps from Tre'Davious White?
Mm-hmm.
And does he actually outright start? I still feel like we're not there yet. And I think the Bills will treat it like, hey, Tre'Davious White's been here. He's the vet. They still trust him. I don't think it's an outright, we're just putting you on the bench and putting Max Harrison. I think there's a way to do this, right? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a way to do it right. And I think at some point we all know that's coming. Doesn't have to be this week. Maybe there's more snaps this week. And then we'll see what happens next week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The other part about it is when he is on the field, is he on a team's primary number one? Right. Is he on the team's fastest receiver, which could be Jalen Waddle? But, you know, Jalen Waddle plays in the slot too, right? So, like, there's a lot of things that you have to kind of consider when you go against these guys and these teams and the way they want to formulate their game plan.
The other, you know, young guy, maybe the heir apparent and taking over the older guy too, maybe to a lesser extent, Poyer and Hancock. I mean, Poyer has done very well helping out Cole Bishop, maybe at his best game as a pro against Kansas City, but they've also been deploying Hancock a little bit at safety, especially on passing downs. So we'll see how all of that goes as the season progresses. They do lose Hoyt, but man, Sal, the last two games I think have easily been the Bills' best performances on defense.
Yeah, Michael Hoyt is a massive loss.
Yeah.
It's a massive loss. They brought in some defensive ends yesterday to work out. Kingsley Jonathan was one of them. Casey Tuhill was another one of Garrett Nelson. So clearly they're looking for a little more pass rush help and maybe even, you know, getting somebody who can play a little bit more inside and outside, whether that's on the roster now and you bring somebody in, you can kind of massage that with internally, or you bring somebody in who can do it. It's a massive loss, but I really like the way the defense played as well. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, Sean McDermott now having more of a hand in calling plays, it appears that's the case.
All right, Sal, we'll let you get ready for McDermott, who's going to be speaking here in a little bit. Bills back to practice as they get ready to take on the Miami Dolphins down in South Florida this Sunday. Have a great day, man. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. You can also follow along for everything that we learned today. Sal's Twitter account, at Sal Sports. He'll have you covered with all of that. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, wrapping up hour number one here. We're still taking your calls, of course, 803-0550, the number to call. We haven't touched on the Sabres yet either. OT Merchants, they get in the playoffs. It's not that sexy, though. We'll talk about that as well coming up in hour number two. Listening to WGR.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.